Sweet team. So, hey, John, how you doing? So let's get into it today. Now, Toby, if you could drop today's workbook. G'day, Adrian. How are you, mate? Good to see you.
Yeah, all good. Yep.
Good, man. Good you're here. I'll just mute you there, mate. Toby, if you can drop the workbook into the chat, please. So there's a workbook today. If you want to grab it, if you haven't got it already, I suggest you download it and print it if you can. And you can take notes, because if you take notes, you're going to retain more of the session today. Grab a copy, download it, grab a copy of it, and you can take notes as we go through.
Yeah, guys, if you can't see it in the chat, I've also dropped onto the membership Facebook page as well, so you'll be able to grab it from there.
Also the membership page. Cheers, Toby. Appreciate that, man. So grab a copy of that. Let's get into it. So, team, I'm really excited about today's session. Whilst you may not know it yet, I reckon this could possibly be the most important training that you ever attend, and I don't say that lightly. And it's funny that I say that, because we're not really talking about a particular strategy or business tool today. We're talking about something that's much deeper than that. So we're talking about how you actually do everything and how you show up for everything, and how you can do everything better so you can get a better result and ultimately, you know, be more successful in your business, but in your life as well, which is what's really important, and be happier and more successful. I'm going to say straight up today that the session, it's a bit of a warning, really. The session could be a little bit confronting and tough for some, but I just want to lay down a challenge to you to be honest with yourself and to be vulnerable to yourself. And with the other people on the training today as well, because progress always starts with the truth, and that can be a little bit confronting sometimes. That's okay, but I just want to let you know that I think it's really important you're prepared to look at yourself and be vulnerable. And vulnerability, I think, is really important, because unless you're vulnerable, you can't really learn stuff. You don't acknowledge, you know, what the challenges or the issues are. So if everyone's cool with that, just give me a big thumbs up in the camera there. That'd be fantastic. Appreciate that, guys. Okay, so let's get into it. I'm going to start with a little story today. So I've written a little story, and we're going to go through that first off. Goes like this. One sunny late spring afternoon, 25 years ago, two year 12 blokes walked out of school for the last time. Now, they were very much alike, these two young fellas. Both were sort of practical, hands-on types who enjoyed the craft subjects at school, you know, like the metalwork, the woodwork, and the tech, rather than having to sit down and do English and that sort of stuff. You're having to sit down all day. Much preferred getting up and doing stuff. And they were both really liked, you know, well-liked by their mates, and both, as young blokes are, we're filled with big ideas for the future. Now, recently, these men returned to their high school for their 25th high school reunion. Now, they were both still pretty much alike. Both were married, both had three kids, and both, it turned out, had actually ended up owning a plumbing business in the same suburb. But there was a big difference. Now, one of these men had a struggling business. It was himself, a van, a pile of stuff in his garage, and a surly 19-year-old apprentice. The other owned a successful business that earned him a high six-figure salary profit, and it allowed him to take every Friday afternoon off to go fishing or play golf. Now, the successful business owner, he felt really confident about the future, and he was a real action taker. So he invested time and money into improving himself, and it seemed on the surface anyway that everything that he touched turned to gold. He kind of had that Midas touch, and he loved talking with successful people, and he made a habit of copying what other successful people do. So he was super successful. The other guy, as a business owner, not so much. And have you ever wondered, and as I have, what makes the difference in people's lives like this? Now, it isn't intelligence or talent or dedication, and it isn't that one of these chaps wanted to succeed and the other didn't, at least on the surface anyway. The difference actually lies in what each person, each one of these guys knew, and more importantly, how they, he or she makes use of the knowledge that they have. That is how they implement it, what they do with what they learn. And it turns out that whilst these two brothers looked the same on the surface when they left school, they were in fact pretty different under the surface in terms of how they looked at the world. Can you hear me, Toby? Is that good?
Just a second, mate. Me and Dan are just sorting out an issue on this end.
If you can everyone else hear? If you can hear me,
Toby, we can hear you. It's good.
Okay, cool. Sweet. No problem. What's the problem?
Can you do breakout rooms?
Okay, I'll get to that in a minute. Cool. Yeah, well, I need them, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I can do that. Okay, cool. No problem, team. A few technical issues. Anyway, the difference lies in what each person knows and how, more importantly, he or she makes use of that knowledge or how they implement. So those guys, whilst they look the same, you know, if you look under the surface, they probably weren't. Now, here's the thing. Both these young guys, these young blokes, worked hard at learning how to become a good plumber. And the struggling business owner, if anything, he was actually a better plumber, a better tradesperson. And by rights, he should have had the better business if having a successful business was just about working harder and getting through as many jobs as you could. But it isn't, and he wasn't the more successful. The struggling business owner was actually gripped by procrastination, fear, frustration, and anxiety. He struggled to charge enough. He was always having outstanding debts and struggling to get people to pay. And had even thought about getting coaching, but he was skeptical about that as well. He was stuck. And he didn't feel great about how things had actually turned out on the business front. So, whilst these two chaps sort of appeared the same on the surface, underneath they were pretty different. They appeared the same from what we'd call the kind of conscious, visible part of what was going on, but they were actually really different under the hood from how they looked at the world. So here's the thing. No worries, Carl. Good to have you here, mate. G'day, Murray. So sometimes we know what we need to do, or we know what we shouldn't do, but we don't do it, or we do it anyway, and we don't get the results we want because we just struggle to make things stick. And let's just look at how this looks from a conscious and an unconscious point of view. Let's say we've got a goal for our business, and look, this program is called the Million Dollar Tradie, which is about making $1 million profit. That's the black belt. They're the high level, you know, when we do our belt. So let's just put that down as a goal. Our goal is to make $1 million profit. Not $1 million turnover, profit. Now, up here is our sort of conscious, I can never spell very well, hopefully I've got that right, is our conscious sort of mind. And that's where we start working towards this goal. We plan, we start taking some action, we start doing stuff towards it. But what often happens is there's some stuff going on under the surface here. And this is the unconscious, which is about 95% of what's going on. And this is about 5% that sees us being pulled back, pulled in different directions, not doing what we know we should do, or doing it half-assed, or struggling to stop doing things that we know we shouldn't do. And this unconscious is all about how we look at the world. It's all about our values, our beliefs, and our, you know, our emotions, a whole bunch of stuff sitting under here. So whilst those two chaps look the same up here, actually let's do that in green. They look the same up here, but actually under the surface, under here, they're actually pretty different. And that's what made the difference. So today is really about shining a light on the unconscious stuff that's going on so we can make some really meaningful change and live a bigger life. Because those unconscious things hold us back and they're like a glass ceiling that actually stop us getting the results that we want. So today's not about strategy, stuff to do. This is about busting through the mental barriers that are going to help you do everything better. It's going to help you stop procrastinating, going to help you be more confident, going to help you take the right action and do it when you need to. Because the first step is actually understanding that we've placed some limits on ourselves, but we don't actually know what they are sometimes. So that's what today is about. So what we're going to do, team, is we're going to jump into a breakout room for about 4 minutes. And I just want you to share whether you ever feel torn between doing what you should do and what you do, and how thinking about what's going on under the surface is actually really important. So Toby, how many people do we have in the
we have got 83 people in the webinar today.
Okay, so if I want to put people in groups of three, how many mm-hmm. how many rooms do I need?
Call it, just go with 20, 25-ish, because then you'll have a few that won't have cameras and things.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, team, is just going to jump into a breakout room. So if you're new on the webinar, like Adrian, if you're new today, mate, we have rooms where we can just put you into a breakout room with a couple of other people to have a discussion. So there'll be a little prompt that comes up on the page for you to click, and it'll just put you in a breakout room. So what I want you to do is put you in a breakout room for 4 minutes. I just want you to talk with each other about whether you ever feel torn, or what you feel torn about, you know, what you should do versus what you do. So I'll set those up now, open the rooms up, and you just click join. Toby, can you keep 4 minutes, please?
Yep, no worries, I'll add to the clock.
Alrighty.
Hey, sweet. Tony, for the next breakout rooms we do, if we can increase the size by one, there was a couple of rooms there by the sounds of it that were a little bit small.
Yeah, cool. Yep, no problem. Awesome. Okay, team, let's get into it. So there are a couple of key principles here for living your best life, living a bigger life, and busting through some of the mental, so there's unseen, unconscious, mental or emotional barriers that that do definitely hold us back. First one is this. I think we have to really make a decision about what we want. And I mean really make a decision. So in terms of the goals you have for your business, are the goals, is it a would it be nice thing? I'd like that. Or is it a wholehearted yes? I'm actually going to dedicate myself to making this happen. And what are we saying yes to as well? So, you know, do I just want to make some more profit? It's kind of weak. It needs to be, it needs to be clearer and stronger than that. And the question I have is, what's stopping you from having a $1 million profit business? Well, frankly, the first thing that's stopping you is making the decision to have one, making the decision to create one at a conscious level. That's at the top of the iceberg. Have I actually decided that I want a $1 million profit business, or whatever it is for you? So that's important. Have I decided consciously that that's what I want? The second thing is becoming or being. Now, the decision to have what we want is really a conscious decision. It's like at the top of the iceberg. But we know that a big part of this process is actually about what's going on under the surface and how we sabotage ourselves. So what we have to do, and this is really what today is about, is we have to work on being successful. Now, that's a different thing from having success. And I'm going to talk a lot about that today. So the great thing about achieving your goals is that you have to become and grow as a person to actually achieve your goals. I mean, if you are already had the skills and the ability to have a $1 million profit business, you'd have that result. So we have to do the work on ourselves so that we can become the type of person who can get the results that we want. Now, if you want different results, the thing is you're going to have to show up really differently as a person, as a, in a different state, a different attitude, a different state of mind. And the question is, what do we have to do to hold the attitudes and the beliefs and the values of a successful business owner? That's really what today is about. And so the next question is this one. What's stopping you from being $1 million business owner, $1 million profit business owner? And that's really where we get into the unconscious part of the iceberg. It's often that stuff that's the handbrake to your success, the stuff that we aren't really aware of. So it's actually deciding that you're going to do the work on yourself to improve, you know, your own operating system so that you can get the results that you want. And thirdly, progress starts with the truth. It actually starts from understanding where you're starting from. So this is where we've got to be brave. We've got to look at the areas of ourselves that we aren't aware of or that we're kind of aware of, but that are actually probably the biggest roadblocks that we have. And it's about recognizing that we may have to do some different type of work than we thought. It's not work like the tale of the two brothers, where one was hard out, working hard, getting jobs done, just focusing on the here and now. It's some other work about looking in the mirror and understanding, how do I need to change my attitudes and the way I show up to my business and my life in general? Because that's the stuff that's probably holding us back. So I have a question, actually, team, and you can put, you know, me, well, that's me in the comments if it applies to you. How many of you find it hard or don't actually ask questions on the membership page or of other people because you don't want to feel stupid? Just put that in the comments. How many people don't ask questions because they don't want to feel stupid? Okay, a lot of people. Sometimes. Yeah. Laura, yep. Taz, Dan, sometimes, yeah. Okay. See, the thing is, that's actually about that's about our own ego. It's about not wanting to look silly in front of people and feel like we've been kind of made smaller because people might think badly of us. And that's really about some stuff we have, you know, under the surface that's going on, that it's not serving us in any way. It's actually holding us back. It's a big hurdle. Amelia and Brad. Nope, I always ask, and we love you. Love you for that too, Amelia, as well. It's good stuff. See, people don't ask questions because they feel stupid, or they behave with sort of false bravado. You know, they're kind of bolshy and a bit grouchy. That's because they feel uncertain and they actually don't know what the hell's going on, but they don't understand why they even behave in that way. So we've got to look in the shadows, look in the dark side, underneath the surface, the areas that don't see much sun in our personalities and our attitudes, the unconscious part of us. Now, once we've done that, becoming aware of what holds us back, that's the start. That's obviously important. But then we've got to choose to change some of those beliefs and those unresourceful attitudes that really requires us to change the way we look in the world. So this is hard work. And it's a bit confronting at times, as I said, but it's massively rewarding. This is where the real, you'll make huge gains in your business and life when you really get into this stuff. So if you think about glasses or contact lenses, I wear glasses a bit as well. When you're wearing them, you don't notice that you have them on. You don't even notice them after a while. That's the same with our unconscious attitudes. We don't notice them. We see the world through these things. But if we want to see the world in a better way and turn up in a better way, we've actually got to change the lenses that we are seeing the world through. And that's the work that we're going to start today. Pick a different pair of glasses, one that actually works better for us. Once we've done that, we can choose to live a bigger life because we're going to see the world in a different way. Now, the cool thing, team, is this. What we're talking about today is about business. But this applies to every area of your life. It applies to your relationships, health, your relationships with your significant other, your relationships with your children, if you have them, or grandchildren, or grandparents, or whatever those relationships are. So the way you, the results you get are driven by, you know, the way you see your world, and we can upsize our results by looking at how we view things. So love to check in really quickly before we get into the meat of today. What's been most valuable or insightful, or what made you think? out of those principles? Just drop it in the chat. I'd love to know. So we're going to look at something called the communication model. Now, I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with NLP. If you are, just put yep in the chat. If anyone's heard of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Sweet. So a bunch of people have. So a lot of this comes from NLP. And what I'm going to share, hey Tig, appreciate that. So what I'm going to share is the NLP communication model today. And it really helps us. Well, a lot of what we're talking about can feel a bit kind of woo-woo, a bit, what's the word, airy-fairy. You know, what does it mean by how I show up? What is this unconscious thing? How do I create a self-fulfilling prophecy for myself? It all can feel a little bit kind of out there. So we're going to put some meat around that so that it actually makes logical sense how this stuff actually works, how we can actually create our own reality, how we can get what we put out there as well. So let's jump into that. Just grab my iPad here, and it's in your workbook. Toby, can you see the workbook, mate? Is that all good? Sweet. Okay. So this might take a bit of time to go through, team, but that's fine because I think it's super super important. I'll try and give some examples as we go through, so that it really makes sense. So here's how it works. We have an external event that happens out there outside of us. So that could be anything. It could be, you know, a phone call you get from someone. It could be anything that happens out in the world, an event. And what happens is most events, there's like about 2 million or so bits of information, or data is probably a better way of putting it. You know, if you smell a mince pie and you look at the mince pie, you're taking in a lot of information. So there's a lot of data in every event. The research through NLP suggests about 2 million bits of data. Now, here's the problem. We take that data in through our senses. So we have five senses. There's sound, smell, sight, taste, and touch. So if you want to use the technical term, sight is visual, sound is auditory, touch is kinesthetic, smell is olfactory, and taste is gustatory. So it's a mouthful even to get in your mouth. So that's how we experience the world. You know, you're watching me and hearing me. You're taking it in through your ears, through your eyes. You're feeling the warmth or the coolness in your office. You can feel yourself sitting on the seat, leaning against the desk. You're using all those senses. You may be having a cup of tea and a biscuit, whatever. So we take the information through our senses. But here's the thing. Because there's so much information, our brains, they've got to filter that information. So that information comes in through the external event, through our senses, and we need to filter that information. So we have a series of filters here. And the reason we have filters is basically because if we didn't filter stuff, our brains would blow up. We'd just get overloaded. And there's some, you know, research around people who are on the spectrum of autism and Asperger's and stuff like that. They often don't have the same filters, and they just take in so much information, it's just overwhelming. But most people have developed a set of filters for this. So there's really three filters, or three things that we do. And I'll just expand this a bit. We delete information. We just ignore a bunch of stuff. We just ignore it. We don't even notice it. Of those, you know, those 2 million bits of data, we delete a bunch of it. So I just want to do a real quick exercise to show you how this works. If you're sitting around, just look around the room you're in. Just take a deep breath. Look around the room you're in, and I just want you to notice everything that's red in the room. Okay, so look around the room. Notice as many red things as you can. Notice things that are red or that perhaps have red in them. Maybe a book cover has some red on it. Maybe there's a pen that's red. So notice all the red things. Okay. Now I want you to close your eyes and I want you to remember all the blue things in the room. So how many can you remember? For most of us, you can't remember anything that's blue. And that's because likely you've just deleted the blue things because you weren't looking for them. So that's how we delete stuff. Does that make sense, team? Just give me a hands up in the... Yeah. So we delete. That's the first thing we do. The second thing is we distort things. So a quick example here is, let's say a man's out in the outback. He's walking out from his hut and walking through the scrub, and he believes he sees what is a snake, and he yells snake, but then he goes and gets his mate, comes back, sees the snake, and they're actually relieved to see that it's actually an old piece of rope. It just looked like a snake. So he's distorted what's there. So that's how we distort things. And the last thing we do is we generalize. So we generalize. So that means we draw conclusions about things based on one or two experiences we've had. For example, and my apologies to any of you from the UK, but this is something I've heard before, which is mad, is someone's drilled their finger. That's not good. For example, I'd never hire someone from the UK because they're lazy. I've heard some people say that before. Now, that's plainly crazy. Because there's lazy people everywhere. Sorry, Toby.
I like to think I'm not too lazy, guys.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about you, buddy. It's plainly crazy because we know there's lazy people everywhere. But maybe that person's had a single experience, or they've talked to another person who has a similar business, and that's what they've said. So they generalize that. Okay. Is this making sense so far, team? Just give me a fist bump if this makes sense so far. Sweet. Okay. But here's the tricky part. This is where it gets really tricky. When two of us are faced with the same event, let's say a client, pushes back on a price really strongly. Why don't we have the same response? We don't delete, distort, and generalize the same things. We do it differently. Each of us is different. And that's the rub. So what actually happens is there's a bunch of ways that we do delete, distort, and generalize. And those are... there's a series of things that we use, things like our language, our memories, values and beliefs, decisions and attitudes. So all those things determine the way we delete stuff and distort stuff and generalize. And all of us have obviously got different experiences. So a couple of quick examples. Let's say you're talking with someone about success. Well, success means a different thing maybe to you than it does to me. Maybe for someone it means making a lot of money. Maybe for someone it means time with family or time off, whatever. So you could use the same word, but you're actually talking about different things. So you interpret it differently. Maybe memories. We have different, we all have different memories. Like, it's well known that when police interview people have observed a crime, they get vastly different reports of the incident because people, they're not telling lies, they just remember completely different things. But we might find it, if you have a dispute with a client, you actually remember completely different things about it. And it's like, well, they're just telling lies. Well, actually, sometimes their memories are just totally different to ours. It's not that they're lying as such. Or values and beliefs. So these are the way we see the world. They either give us power or make us powerless. So for example, if you think sales is a dirty word and it makes you feel awkward and feels a bit like a used car salesperson, then you'll filter out information on sales training really differently to other people who think it's a great thing. So you'll see it really differently. So here's the thing though. Once we've seen the external event, we've run it through a bunch of filters, research shows that we narrow that information, those 2 million bits of data, down to 5 to 9 chunks of information that we can handle based on the filters that we have. So that's kind of interesting. So we've gone from 2 million to 9 bits of information, possibly, based on, you know, how we are ourselves. And a lot of this is unconscious. So it just happens. It's kind of like breathing. It just happens. Okay. So here's what happens. Just going to make that a bit smaller so it's easier to write. So those chunks of information that we have then form what are called an internal representation. Now, the internal representation simply is how we see feel or view the event that happened. That's, you know, it's the sense we make out of it, if you like. So the internal representation is the picture, the sound, or the feeling that we get about what we're seeing. Okay, so that's the first thing. The next thing is then that affects our state, or, you know, how we feel about it, the emotional response to what we've created in our mind. So the internal story, I guess, that we tell affects how we feel, the emotions, as we call them. We call them state. And then the state or the emotions we have affect what we call the physiology. Now, what that means, that basically affects our body, how our body is. So how does that work? Well, if you're feeling depressed, like your state is depressed and unhappy, what happens? Your kind of head drops, your shoulders drop, and you have a slouchy, slack body. If you're really excited and animated and excited about something, your state is much more energetic and open and enthusiastic. Tony Robbins, who's excellent, is a master at NLP. You may not be able to see this. He talks about there's a big difference between, you know, kind of standing like this and standing like that. It's about 2 inches. You know, the shift from there to there is about 2 inches, but it's absolutely everything in terms of how you feel. So these bits, the internal representation, the state, and our physiology, that's really like the story that we tell ourselves about what's happened. It's how we've interpreted all and how it's affected us. So that's what we're left with after we've filtered everything through, got, you know, 9 chunks of information, and then we've made some sense of it ourselves. Interesting thing is, if you are feeling a bit down, you can change the way your state is by doing exercise, for example. That's why exercise is great, because it releases endorphins, you feel strong, it can change the whole way you see something by exercising, because it changes your physiology, which changes your state, which then has an impact on your, you know, the way you see it, your internal representation. Okay, so so this is really the story we tell ourselves. Now, I know this is a lot to go through, but it'll make sense when we get to the end. We call this our B, how we turn up. That's how we show up. That's kind of the energy we bring to what we're doing. So that's all really interesting, but this is where it sort of hits home. Now, see, the rubber meets the road when we do stuff. You know, behavior. When we actually take action, the behavior we take, that's where the results come from. So you behave and you get results. But the problem is this. If we're not getting the results that we want, or we don't have what we want, it's normally because the behaviors, what we do, is not quite right. And that's driven by how we actually are, what our state is, how we, our being. Does that make sense, guys? Just give me a thumbs up if that all makes sense. That's how it sort of all fits together. Okay. So what's happened is something's happened. We've, you know, almost instantaneously put it through a bunch of filters. We've created a story based on the internal representation, the state and the physiology. That's the story we've created. That causes us to behave in certain ways, which gives us the results that we have, whether they're the ones we want or the ones that we don't want. And this is how we create that self-fulfilling prophecy. Let me give an example here. So I think this will tie it together. So let's say you're struggling to make sales and people say yes to your quotes. So we put a quote out there and then we, you know, that's the event, if you like. We don't hear anything back. That's another event. So we don't hear anything about it. Now we can interpret that event based on our filters, and we will. So our belief system maybe is one that it's, you know, not polite to talk about money, that being rich means you must be dodgy, that sales is a dirty word, that people are only interested in the lowest price, and that it's rude to be pushy. So we haven't got the result we wanted. We feel, you know, rejected and unappreciated. That's kind of the internal representation. Our state is kind of low. We feel, you know, kind of let down and slacked off or disappointed. And we feel bad. Our physiology, literally our body slouches and we feel, you know, down. We've become timid. So a couple of things happen there. Either your behavior is nothing, you do nothing because you feel timid, or maybe you summon up enough courage to actually follow up, but you approach it in a really timid way. Your behavior lacks confidence and it lacks punch. And so you ring up and you say, oh, look, I just thought I'd ring up and, you know, see how you're getting on with that quote. Yeah, no pressure. Now that's, you know, that's following up, but the behavior doesn't have power and energy because your state, the way you are, your being is not, you know, not helpful. It's not resourceful. And so what happens then, it's very easy for them to say no to you. And those results feed back into the event. They feed back up here, and that obviously reinforces this whole thing in your head. And that's what we call the, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy. So it's not just pie in the sky stuff. It's actually quite logical, it's scientific, and it all makes sense. And here's the key thing. It's a big word, but it's really helpful. The word is micro representations, which basically means, you know, when we were ringing up to follow up that quote, we were giving off a whole bunch of signals which told the person we weren't confident, perhaps we were a little untrustworthy, perhaps we were easy to brush off. These little tells that they pick up that actually reinforce the result that we don't want. So they're like little tells to the rest of the world about how to treat us. So if you show up in an unresourceful state, you know, your story's not good, you're going to behave in ways that don't get you the results you want, or you'll get different results than you want. And that's actually going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. Our behavior doesn't have the conviction or the power or the energy that it needs because we're kind of feeling a bit shitty about it. Okay. Does that make sense, everyone? Just let's pause for a minute. That's quite a lot to take in. If you've got any reflections on that or anything you'd like to share, put it in the chat. I'd love to know if there's any questions. Got it, so true. I know it's a bit dry to go through, but I just really wanted to go through this because I think it's massively helpful to see how this actually impacts what we're doing, because it will impact all of us. Yeah, so it's a feedback loop, Adrian. That's right. Definitely a feedback loop. Yeah, the quote example is brilliant. Yeah, because sales is something that really taps into our state. It affects our whole unconscious. True, Paul. Cool. Chris, yeah, critical to know this. Yeah. It's great to know because then we can start doing something to change it, which is what really excites me. Thanks, Paul. Okay. So everyone, just take a big, big deep breath. Kevin and Emma, connecting the dots. The filtering process is massive. Yeah, that's exactly right. So this part in here is hugely important. That's where it's kind of won or lost in a way. So Alex, we want the same response as a runner's high, but from our business operations and growth. Totally. So we want to see when the reason I love running and exercise is because it makes you feel good. And it changes your state. It means everything else you do has more power. Chris, do you think this is genetic? I don't know. And does that matter would be my question, because I think some of it maybe, some of it's probably environmental, but the question is, what can we do to change some of it? Which I think we all can do. Can we influence the filtering process? Yes, we can, Felix. And that's what we're gonna start on today. This is not something we're gonna solve for everyone in a 1 hour session. This is your life's work to be aware of this stuff. And the first part, you've got to be aware that you've got this other stuff going on under the surface, which really impacts your results. Okay. So let's push on. the challenge. Have a challenge. And this is going to help us surface some of the unhelpful attitudes. Here's the challenge. This is a challenge for all of you. We are going to make $1 million profit in your business. So write that down. $1 million profit, that's your goal. Okay. $1 million profit, not sales, profit. For most of you, that means you're going to need to turn over somewhere between $4 and $6 million sales. Now, for some of you, that may not be what you want, the $1 million profit. Although I'd say don't knock it till you tried it, because you'll find it definitely helps. But for some of you, it may be time. So let's make this even better. The goal is to make $1 million profit and you only have to work 2 days a week. So that's our goal. We're gonna make $1 million profit and work 2 days a week. Okay. So you get that written down. Then I want you to grab a piece of paper. I just want you to draw a line down the middle. And on this side, I want you to write unhelpful. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to play a song for 3 minutes. And on the left-hand side of that page, I want you to write down how you feel about the fact that in 3 years' time, you have to make $1 million. Within 3 years, all of you have to make $1 million in profit and do that by working 2 days a week. Okay? I want you to write down how you feel about that, how that makes you feel, what comes up in your mind. And I want you to be brutally honest and vulnerable with yourself. Okay, so we can get started on that. I'll put a song on. I'll just stop the share and then reshare. Okay, team, cool. So what we're gonna do now, when I can find Spotify and turn it off. Okay, so we're gonna jump into breakout rooms now, and I want you to share that with each other. Now, I challenge you to be really vulnerable here, because you'll probably find that everyone feels pretty much the same about this, and that's really helpful to know. So we'll jump into breakout rooms for 4 minutes, and just share with the people in your group what your thoughts were, what were the unhelpful things that came up for you, knowing that you have to make $1 million profit, and you're gonna do it by working 2 days a week. So I'll set up the breakout rooms. How many rooms shall I put?
Set up 20 rooms, Sonny, that way they'll be around, yeah.
So I had it just says open the rooms again. Can I do different rooms, mate?
Click recreate.
Okay, 20 rooms?
Yep.
Perfect, let's do that. All right, everyone back, Toby?
It doesn't look like everyone's back just yet.
Close. I think we must be. Cool. Sweet, team. Okay. Hey, I'd love to know, or love to hear from a couple of people, if you're able to share what you talked about or what you noticed when you talk with other people about some of the, you know, the stuff underneath that is potentially working, you know, in the background for you. Let's have a look in the chat. Age came into our fears. That's interesting. Similar fears, Ben? Yep. Yeah, worried I'd have to take on more debt is my example. Sweet. So that's a fear for sure. Totally the same. Yep. Having to take on staff required, fear. Anxiety over employing a high number of guys. Yeah. Will it kill me, Pete? Yeah, exactly. Will it kill me? I mean, if you're thinking, will it kill me? Is that something that's potentially going to hold you back under the surface? I'd say it most probably is. Letting go of control and trust, another big one. How am I going to do that? Because actually growth requires a relinquishing of control, or control in a different way anyway. Excitement camp. Yeah, boy, I love it. Nice. Okay. Sweet team. Appreciate that. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to come back to that exercise in a minute to finish it off, to actually start the reprogramming process, which I think you'll find really helpful. But what I want to talk about now is what we call the neurological levels of change. This is another really helpful way for you to understand how to get real change. And it's in your workbook. So if you jump to page 10, you'll find it there. So these levels of change, I think, are really, really important. And I'll sketch this out, and then we'll really dig down to why you need to understand this. The first level is environment. So environment is what you have. That's kind of the results you get. It's what you experience in life. So that your results are the first, the first thing, if you like. And that's what we have. Now, to get the results that you want, or create the environment that you want, you have to behave in a certain way. So you have to take the right behaviors. You got to do the stuff. Got to do the yards. So that's cool. And then, we want the behaviors to be effective. So we need to have the right capabilities. That means skills, basically. You can work hard at something and do a lot of stuff, but if you're not doing it the right way, then it doesn't really work that well. So if we look at this sort of level here is what we have there. The next level is this is really what we do. So that's do. And then above that, our capabilities are determined by our values and beliefs, our identity, how we see ourselves. And lastly is our purpose. What's this all about? Okay, so these are ones at the top. They are your B, how you show up, what's underneath the surface. What's the unconscious part of us? So here's the trick. Obviously the have, that's what the results we get. We need to do some stuff to get what we have, to create the environment we want. We need to behave in a certain way, and we need to have the skills to do it. And then how we are, the attitudes, how we see ourselves, and what our purpose in life is, really drives the capabilities we have. This is the trick though. If we want to get a better result down the bottom, let's use the green because that's the color we want. We have to take some different activity. We've got to behave in the way to get the results we want. But if we don't have the right skills, that's not going to mean much. So that means we're going to actually have to work on building some more skills and educating ourselves. And that's a lot of what we do in this program, the tools, the strategies you get, the learnings, a lot about capabilities. So your behaviors improve. But if you don't see the need for improving your skills, or you don't believe you can do it, or you think you're not good enough, or all that other BS that goes around in your head, it's not going to work. So you've got to actually work on improving the values and the beliefs that you have. Now, to do that, you've got to actually see yourself as worthwhile and understand who you are as a person. And sometimes you need to go further than that and understand why you're actually doing this. What's the purpose of what you're doing? Why are you here? What are you looking to achieve? Like for us, it's eradicating entrepreneurial poverty in the trade industries. That's what we're about. That's our purpose. Here's the problem. Where do most people focus their efforts when they try and improve their results? Just put it in the chat. What do people try and do? What area, what level do they focus on? Yeah, perfect. Chris, yeah, do more stuff. They work harder. So most people focus here. Try and get more stuff done. But that's kind of doomed to failure. If you don't have the skills to do it, you don't have the right beliefs, identity, and purpose. Does that make sense then? That's really important. So if you're stuck and you just find yourself trying to work harder and harder and harder, that's the road to frustration, anxiety, overwhelm, and you know, blowout, burnout. Okay? So that's why if we want to get better results, we've got to move up the levels and really look at what's underneath the surface. Just give me a fist pump if that makes sense, because this is kind of the key to this whole thing, is if we just try and focus on doing more and working harder, it ain't going to work. It's broken. We have to improve our skills, and if we're struggling to do that, we need to get a better look at what our values and beliefs are, who we are as a person, and why we're actually doing this. And that will then flow down this way to give us the results that we want, down to the have, which then once we start generating the results we've got, that has the happy side effect of reinforcing all these things as well. So we get a self-fulfilling prophecy in the right way. So that's massive. Okay. So we've got one more thing to do today, which is important. And well, actually, just to jump back to the start, if you think about the tale of the two brothers, one of the brothers focused on behaviors, one of the brothers, you know, the two men focused up the ladder, capabilities, values, identity, purpose. He was strong in that area. That's why they had better results. So last thing is, how do we actually then reprogram ourselves? That's what we need to start reprogramming ourselves, because that's how we're going to get some big wins. Everyone has a mental ceiling and an emotional ceiling, and today's about recognizing that and then busting through it. And when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at, they actually change as well. So the aim, you know, even though money is great, obviously it definitely helps. $1 million profit can make a lot of difference to your life and those people you care about in your community. There's no doubt about that. But you've got to bust through some mental and emotional barriers to get there. So what we're going to do now is really look at reprogramming some of those beliefs and values that we have. We're going to do that by looking at some affirmations, which are a great way to get into the filters that we have. So if you think about back here, we want to start reprogramming some of this stuff, and in particular in this area. Okay. Now you can exercise and all that sort of stuff is great, really helpful to change over here, but I'm just going to focus on that, those filters, those the filters that we see things through. And affirmations are a great way to do that. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We've got, I think we're going to take 7 minutes to do this. Actually, I want you on the other side of the piece of paper. I want you to write. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try these on for size now. Because affirmations need to be spoken and they need to be programmed, and speaking them out loud is how we start to program them in and bake them into our unconscious and into, you know, help to recreate those filters. So what we're going to do now, team, is we're going to jump into breakout rooms again, and we're going to finish this off by each person is going to go and say their affirmations to the other people in the breakout room. So this is where it gets real and vulnerable, and you say them like you mean them. So when you hop up in the morning, You have these pins somewhere where you can see them and you can say them. So I did this exercise with the guys in the boardroom at our boardroom a few weeks ago. I know some of them have pasted them on the mirror, got them in the wardrobe, somewhere where you can see them. Early days, early doors in the day to put your mind in the right frame. And this is the way you say them. I choose to be bold. I choose to banish fear. I choose to be abundant. I choose to continually upgrade my picture of the world. You say them like you mean them. So I want each person to take a turn saying their affirmations. Should only take 3 minutes, won't take long. Okay, so we're going to jump into breakout rooms and do that now. Is everyone clear on what they're doing? Just give me a thumbs up if that makes sense. I want you to play full on here.
Go 19 this time, mate.
Okay. All right. So rooms are open. Please jump in and tell us and say it like you mean it.
Cool. Everyone's popping back in now, Tony.
Okay, team. Hey, I'm really sorry if you needed more time. My humble apologies. I'd already clicked the button and a couple of people had messaged in that they needed a bit more time. Just if you didn't get a chance to do that, please just let me know in the chat. I just want to know how many people missed out there. I chose to miss out. That's not acceptable, John. It's only two in your group, Taz. Okay. Not too many people. Okay. Sorry, guys. Really apologize to that. We can't just set up a little meeting room, can we, Toby? No. It needs to be everyone.
Yeah, not just individually, Fred.
Do it. Sweet. Murray, where are you? Let's unmute you, mate.
Sweet Murray, are you there?
Yep. I choose to acknowledge my negative thoughts and not let them control me. I choose to recognize the opportunities in front of me. I choose to associate with people who push me to learn and grow. I commit to mental and emotional growth. I choose to reject all self-created mental and emotional limits. I acknowledge that all of my fears are of mind, not of the world. I choose learning and action over fear and procrastination. I choose to be the source of abundance and inspiration to those around me. I choose to be grateful.
Dude, that's killer. I get goosebumps hearing that, mate.
Oh, thanks.
So good. Yeah. Every morning. It's killer.
Right.
Yep. So I'd love to know. Let's have a couple of shares. So how did you find that process? How did you find speaking that stuff into, you know, into reality? Taz says, well done, Murray. Huge. Yeah, he's a legend, Murray. Awesome, mate. Confronting and accountable. Yeah, super good. Loved it, Dan. Liberating, Phil. Yeah. Exposing. Yeah, scary but felt good. Malora, yeah. Pete, speaking is powerful. Amelia, made me smile. Easier second time round. Nice, Mark. You should be owning it by now, buddy. Shannon, confronting. Brought a little tear to my eye, yeah. Sorry, Cheryl. Didn't realize I wasn't doing some of these things. Yeah, Ben, saying it confirms it needs to happen. John, made it less scary. Courtney, I wrote, I choose to be present, then went ahead and responded to an unrelated text message. Failed. We've got your back, Courtney. You're acknowledging it, which is great. John, great. Shannon, a little confronting, but inspirational at the same time. Andrew, exposed my weaknesses. Yeah. David, daunting at first, but felt really good after I said it. Yeah. Dan, bricked when you said we had to say it, but it went all good. Taz led the way. He's a good man. You had a good group, your pair. Debbie, felt good while focusing on the unhelpful, created anxiety. This feels good. Yeah, changes it around. Adrian, powerful. Cool. Felix, scared. Yeah, that's cool. Go to your affirmations. At least you're honest, Courtney, Phil said. Smiley face. Graham, very important to help the mind growth. Okay, fantastic team. Look, I really appreciate your vulnerability and willingness to share, because that's a massively important part of this process. Anne-Marie, yeah, love the positivity and chatting with others makes me feel less alone in the journey. And that's important. That's part of what this group is about, to know that, hey, we all have these challenges, but we can help each other by holding each other accountable and holding each other to a higher standard of expectation. That's massive. So love it. Yeah. Amen, Anne-Marie. Yes, yeah, so good. We all our bums point south with this stuff. That's what I'm saying. Okay, team. So great effort today. What I'd love to do to finish up is rather than writing it all down here now, if you can go to the members' Facebook page, and Toby's just put up a post, and just write down what your biggest insight or takeaway was from today's session. I would love you to share it there. It's really helpful for us, and it's awesome to see, you know, what's helping, what's resonating, what's hitting home for you. Toby just said, top tip, choose the top three, stick them above the jug every morning when waiting for it to boil. Speak them out loud. Create habits. Yeah, have them written down, and speaking them is very powerful. So team, put your biggest insight, your biggest lesson on the Facebook page. I'd really appreciate that. Great session today. Went a little bit longer than I thought, but I think that's okay. This is really important. The message, I guess, that we want to leave with today is a very important one. It's from Carl Jung, who's a very famous psychologist. Until you make the unconscious conscious, so what's below the surface, until you bring it out and look at it, it will direct your life and you'll call it fate. You can choose a different result. You can choose better results by shining the light on the shadows and choosing, you know, a different set of filters to give you the results that you want. I love you guys. Make sure you're booked in for the planning session on the 10th of September. We're going to do a 6-week planning cycle. I can't wait for that. It's going to be epic. So make sure you're registered for that. And take good care. Put your best insight on the Facebook page. We'll catch you guys again real soon.